Hello again. Good day to you. Welcome to the Bernie Miklas Show here on my YouTube channel. Thanks as always for watching, subscribing, commenting, and putting up with me through my videos and all my bloviating. Is that the word? I don't know. All right. Today, it's kind of a doubleheader, if you will. I'm going to want to talk about, and they're both related, both events are related. I'm going to talk about John Mozeliak and Nolan Arenado. And I'm only discussing Arenado today because he's still a Cardinal. There's a bit of news out there, but he is still a Cardinal. And unless that changes, Mozeliak has provided another example of not being able to get the job done. Now, this can change, of course. I mean, certainly it could, at least with Arenado. I don't know about whether John Mozeliak will be able to get anything else done, but maybe Arenado will, in fact, find a new home, and probably comes down, most of it comes down to whether where Alex Bregman, the free agent third baseman, chooses to sign with Boston or perhaps another team. This has been a very strange offseason for the Cardinals. Easily the strangest offseason that I've observed in my 35 plus years of chronicling St. Louis baseball, whether it be on the radio, of course, writing for the Post-Dispatch, Scoops Network, The Athletic, or yapping on any number of radio stations, plus this YouTube channel. In terms of the on-field product, the Cardinals really haven't done anything. They've been in a holding pattern since the final game of the 2024 season. That was on September 29th. And as I record this, 103 days have passed since then, and we have officially entered the new calendar year. And we're about to enter the baseball calendar year. Have the Cardinals acquired anyone in a trade? No. Have they spent a dollar? No. With 2025 billed as a retool and a salary slash, have the Cardinals offloaded pending free agents in a couple of opportunistic moves to acquire prospects to boost their young talent pool? No, not yet. Has Mozeliak been able to get a deal done to send Arenado to another team in a move that will A, reduce the payroll, and B, open third base for Nolan Gorman? No, that hasn't happened yet, if it's going to happen at all. But if, as we've talked about a lot, but if, you know, Mozeliak can't swing a deal, Arenado's return would have ripple effects on other Cardinals. Brendan Donovan, Alec Burleson, rookie Thomas Sejacy, maybe even Lars Nootbaar and Michael Ciani. I say that because of the possibility Nootbaar could go play more in center field, with Donovan being used more often in left field because Gorman would be at second base. Really, definitely a trickle-down effect. So nothing's happened yet. Nothing has happened. We're still waiting. I would say we're still hoping, but what the hell are we hoping for? I don't even know. I don't expect much. This is the offseason of no and mo. Aren't I clever? Not really. Again, a lot can change the course of everything between now and the Cards' first exhibition game, which, by the way, is now only 45 days away. And that's something. Mozeliak has not been able to offload Arenado, and he's seemingly unwilling to offload walkier pitchers Eric Fetty and Ryan Helsley. He may not be able to find a taker for Steven Matz. So it's been a no-go offseason, or as I like to call it, trying to be cute again, a mo-go or a mo-won't-go offseason for the St. Louis Cardinals. All right, I'll knock that stuff off now. That was it. I had to get it out of my system. Here we are getting set to watch college football playoff semifinals. I can't wait. And the opening weekend of the NFL playoffs, I cannot wait. Next weekend is the Cardinals' annual winter warm-up, which, given the offseason, may feel like more of a big chill. And training camp in Jupiter opens with a February 12th reporting date. That's 35 days from now. It's creeping up. little bit more than a month away. So to this point, in terms of their 26-man roster, the Cardinals have done nothing, literally nothing, since declining to pick up those team options for starting pitchers Lance Lynn and Kyle Gibson, which I guess that was a little something. That was a little bit of action, but not enough to qualify as some sort of forward-thinking offseason move. It was just an offseason goodbye to two veteran pitchers who actually helped the Cardinals win more games and have a better season in 2024, although it was another non-playoff season. And as of now, it's like, bye-bye, maybe Kyle Gibson will return. But then again, if he does, well, who exactly, where are the young pitchers going to get a slot in the rotation? We'll wait. Going into the weekend, I'm waiting for a winter of nothing to turn into a winter of something, a winter of anything when it relates to the St. Louis Cardinals. Where's the action? When will this Nolan Arenado carousel stop spinning? It's not moving right now, but you know, it'll be spinning around a little bit. I mean, this thing ain't over yet. But in early December, Mozeliak declared his intention to trade Arenado. And Arenado is more than a month later, Arenado is still a Cardinal. Based on the team's stated outlook for 2025, the number one roster priority for John Mozeliak this winter was to make a move to clear Arenado out of here. And Mozeliak hasn't gotten it done. Not yet, anyway. I keep saying not yet, but I feel like I must reinforce that point. I realize there's still time. But the options, which were already quite limited, could dry up altogether. And as Mozeliak, think about this one, and as Mozeliak enters his final season as the president of baseball operations, to this point, he has been striking out. Now he's going to have more swings, or at least more chances to take a swing, and I hope he can connect. But if you think about it, to this stage in time, preparing for 2025, Mozeliak is idle. It's kind of predictable, right? It's kind of typical, right? I mean, did any of you, with all due respect, really have your hopes up that somehow John Mozeliak would have this fantastic offseason? I'd say, here comes that word again, no. You probably didn't think that. Now, let's turn to Arenado, because he's obviously a big part of this, and I've got some new thoughts on this. He may have to settle back in as a Cardinal in 2025. If that's the case, he can go one or of two ways. Like, in other words, if he's a Cardinal, he can go one or two ways. It's going to be his choice. He can be down. He can be a little depressed. He can sink into negativity. He can be withdrawn and isolated, not feeling right emotionally or psychologically. And his head wires could be tangled, or whatever you want to use to term it. Or Nato could say, I'll show everyone. I'll show the Cardinals. I'll show everyone. And he'll come to camp. He'll restate his commitment to St. Louis Cardinals baseball. He'll have a positive demeanor, an upbeat demeanor. He can tell everyone he's determined to become a better leader and help the young guys as much as he can, and that he wants them to feel comfortable about coming to him for guidance or just to lean on him as a respected veteran leader whenever they need someone to lean on, player to player. See, Arenado has a chance to actually expand his profile, and I would even say enhance his profile, by truly taking on a leadership role if he stays here. And that could be a really good thing for him and for his teammates. I think it can have it could have an impact as far as just the morale of the team, right? Instead of looking at him over in the corner, like, oh, he's in a bad mood again today. They'll be looking at him trying to, in effect, stir things up and be the voice they hear. And the guy that's sending the messages and telling them, hey, whatever it is he wants to say, just taking charge. That would be a pleasant twist on the Arenado stay in St. Louis. Listen, he can roll into Jupiter ready to go, totally motivated to have a good year, totally fired up to have a robust comeback season, to show that his hard offseason work has paid off and it's given him a better swing, a quicker bat, a refresh in mind, a stabilized mental approach, and renewed confidence. And though Arenado will probably be reluctant to do this, what I'm about to say, come on now, deep down inside, you know he's really fired up to prove himself all over again, especially as a hitter, because his defense is really good. Think about it. Just 2 years ago, he finished third in the National League MVP vote, and he actually led the National League in wins above replacement. And in that context, he was probably the best all-around player in the league in 2022. At that moment in time, with Arenado coming off a career-best season, just about every team with good payroll space and the capability to take him in financially would have tried to make a pitch for Arenado if the Cardinals had made him available. Listen, there was no reason at that time to make him available. But you still think back on that, you know, about how much interest there would have been in him. And I know what some of you are going to say. You're going to say, well, you should have traded him at the 2023 trade deadline. Maybe, but it all depends. It all depends what he wanted to do, right? If it was the Dodgers, yeah, I don't know. Was that old song back in the 60s for you fellow old timers? Turn back the hands of time. I think that was done by Tyrone Davis. Good song. Anyway, think about how, you know, contrasted to where he was 2 years ago at this time. Think about how Arenado has been dissed. He indirectly, but obviously lobbied the Dodgers, who had no interest. Sorry, no room in our infield. He indirectly but unmistakably lobbied the Yankees, who didn't exactly swing into action to get a trade done for him, even though New York has an obvious need for a starting third baseman, unless, of course, they're completely delusional about some of their candidates internally to play third base. And then there was the idea of this pretty exciting Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado, reunion in the Bronx. Wow. This could be kind of fun, right? For not Yankees fans, but just as really for baseball fans. Because you know what the storyline would have been? The storyline would have been, wait a minute. The Yankees won a World Series last year. The Cardinals completed a two-year stretch at the end of last year where they had the 22nd best winning percentage in baseball. So why do the Yankees want these guys if the Cardinals didn't want him, right? Oh, that'd be a big-time narrative, storyline, spin. I don't understand. What is John Mozeliak doing? The Yankees wanted Goldie and Nato, but the Cardinals basically kicked them out. The Yankees are a much better team, and yet they coveted these guys. Hey, there's some truth to that, but I'm having some fun with it. Philadelphia never made a run for Arenado. They still got Alex Bohm playing third base. The Mets didn't come calling, probably won't come calling. Maybe if Pete Alonso signs elsewhere, I don't know. Arenado's agent even told reporters that his guy was willing to play first base to expedite a trade, which may have been an overture to the Padres, but the Padres, nothing, crickets. Team said no, no, no to Arenado. And in a bit of news Thursday, John Morosi of MLB Network reported that the Mariners and the Tigers are options for Arenado if the Cardinals are unable to make a trade with Boston. The latest rumor, whatever it's worth, probably not much, but we'll see. Well, just add it to the pile with all the other rumors. But the thing I find interesting about this is the Arenado camp leaking the idea, getting the word out that Arenado is willing to expand the list of teams he'd play for? If so, the Tigers and Mariners are odd choices because, number one, their home ballparks suppress their home ballparks, plural, suppress right-handed power. And it's not like these teams are on the brink of winning the World Series. I will say this. The Tigers are an up-and-coming team. They really are. They made the playoffs last year. But When they made the playoffs last year, that was the first time, the only time it's happened in the last 10 seasons. And that hitter's park in Detroit for right-handed power, man, I think I looked it up, and Arenado would have only, he hit 16 homers last year, and only 11 would have left the building at Comerica Park. The Mariners, really tough yard to hit in if you're a right-handed swinger. The Mariners reached the ALS in Ichiro's first season in Seattle. That was way back in 2001. And they've only been to the postseason one time since then. They have a lot of good young pitching. I get it. But are the Mariners really an appealing destination for Nato? Detroit? Is that kind of what he dreamed of? I don't know. We'll find out. Only he knows. And back to this word again. Of course, Arenado said no to one team, the Astros, by using his no-trade card to veto a trade to Houston. The Arenado camp indicated at the time the third baseman just needed a little more time to wait and see if something else transpired and developed, and you know, maybe there would be another opportunity. He didn't want to rush into anything. And this was their way of trying to get the Astros to leave that gate open for him. Well, Houston, burned by Arenado's rejection, slammed that gate shut. No longer open for him, as you know, because the Astros immediately pivoted and signed free agent first baseman Christian Walker to a three-year deal worth $60 million and moved Isaac Paredes back to third base. We can only wonder if Arenado now thinks back to that opportunity to go to Houston and regrets his no-trade block. I don't know. And if even if he has regrets, he'd never admit to that publicly. But think about it. I keep saying that, but let's think about this again. Here was one of the greatest defensive third basemen in Major League history, right up there with Brooks Robinson and Mike Schmidt and maybe a couple of others. Scott Rolen, of course, sorry. And maybe a couple of others that we could name. The recipient of 10 gold gloves, multiple platinum gloves, an established power source who put up big, big numbers for a decade, little more than a decade, an established star who was selected for 8 National League All-Star teams. And now, here he is, kind of unwanted, waiting for something to happen, someone to say, oh, we really do want you, Nato. Slowly realizing that these teams that would have gone into a frenzy to trade for him 2 years ago are no longer interested. And if they are interested, well, Cardinals, you're going to have to pay off about 75% of his contract. You're going to have to settle for virtually nothing. We're not going to give you just about anything in the trade exchange. So even if teams are interested, you get the idea they're going to dictate the terms of the transaction. And this has to be humbling for Arenado, who now has to watch and sit and wait for Bregman to make that decision. If Bregman signs with Boston, well, there's no escape route to Fenway Park for Arenado. So it could be St. Louis after all. And, you know, I was thinking about this. And I was just, you know, it's because I like to look at things from every angle. So I was thinking about this part. Maybe it could work out better than we think, and I'll explain why right now. All of his offensive trends are ominous, and I'm highly skeptical about Arenado's chances of making some surprisingly good, hard-charging comeback as a hitter. But I don't rule out the possibility of an improved performance that would elevate him if you use OPS plus to around 10 to 12% above league average offensively. He was 1% above average last season and 8% above average in 2023. Can he get to 10% above average? I mean, that's not exactly, you know, asking him to climb Mount Everest. I think that potential is certainly there. And maybe the Cardinals would be better, as John Mozeliak keeps saying, well, I think we're going to be better than people expect. Maybe that'll happen. But here's the point. There's another point. Whatever Arenado has left in the tank as a hitter, whatever you think he has left in the tank as a hitter, whether he's near empty, maybe he's got half a tank, maybe some of the wild-eyed optimists say, oh, he got three quarters of a tank, Bernie. I don't think so. The Cardinals would have a hard-edged third baseman who is angry in a good way, hungry in a good way, defiant in a good way, and 100% blazing internally to show all of these teams how badly they screwed up because they could have had him and they took a pass on him as if he's some old car, some hoopty being towed to the junkyard 2 years after he was at the top of his game. And if Arenado can revive his hitting, maybe some of those haughty teams will all of a sudden be calling John Mozeliak near the 2025 trading deadline to see if the Cardinals have an interest in trading Nolan Arenado. And maybe the Cardinals would get more for him at that time. And you know that Arenado would love the idea of doing everything humanly possible to have some of those teams now begging him to come play for them months after shunning him. This is probably a pie in the sky scenario that I'm concocting. I'm envisioning because, look, we need some kind of narrative that gives us something to maybe look up to and say, oh, hey, that would be fun. I'm doing my best here, my friends. And if maybe Arenado will hit well enough to make a point as well, why he didn't want to settle for going to Houston, because he wasn't ready to make concessions. Why? Because he firmly believed in his own comeback and the options that a strong comeback would create for him. And think about it this way. If there is no trade, the 2025 season could be a revenge tour for a rejuvenated Nolan Arenado. And this hellfire Arenado revenge tour could be pretty wild and pretty entertaining. And maybe even sell a few tickets for the Cardinals after they've lost more business during this quiet, boring offseason. And what a strange offseason it has been. Reminds me of a book title, a famous book title, The Winter of Our Discontent. Hat tip to John Steinbeck. Good luck to John Mozeliak. Kind of rhymes. Anyway, I thank you for watching. I'm going to give you some of my college football semifinal picks a little later today. Appreciate you very much. Thanks for watching The Bernie Show here on YouTube.